My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, the more MQLs, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/customer to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/customer. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Trinity School of Natural Health can help you be part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry. With an education that empowers communities, Trinity grads can change lives by applying natural health principles and techniques in holistic practices or stores selling nourishing health products. Offering 19 online programs that fit your busy schedule, you'll get training to help turn your passion into a career. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
All right, marketing school listeners, this is a 20 to 30 minute segment of a full interview I've done with an amazing founder, entrepreneur, creative, visionary. You're going to get a ton of insights from this. And if you want to listen to the entire thing, go search for Leveling Up with Eric Sue. That's the entire podcast that you're going to find. So you get 20 to 30 minutes here. And if you want the whole thing, you can just search for Leveling Up with Eric Sue. And without further ado, enjoy the episode.
Tell us about how you go to therapy and you talk about Alex Hormozi.
This is how it's starting. Wow. For everyone out there, when we look at other people and we get jealous or we get envious, and you know, with Hormozi and some of the other people, you seem like, oh man, I'm doing just as good, but they're doing better than me. And so I went to my therapist, Dr. Larry Resnick. Shout out Dr. Resnick. He's like, now what is it that you don't have? What is it that you want that you don't have? And it was an interesting moment to reflect back on my own life and my own, you know, YouTube videos and my relationship and my work. It was nothing. And that's an interesting kind of moment for all of us out there. When we look at others, it's good. It's good to be jealous. Jealous is good because it's a direction of, do I actually want that or not? Do I actually like that or not? But then the moment is coming back into yourself and it's like, do you have the things you want? Are you doing the things you want? Because the reality with it is that there's no amount of views that'll make you ever feel good. Like if I finally get a million, you will feel good getting a million. That is true. $1 million. But there's never amount of views or never amount of external things that finally make you feel good internally. And so it's coming back to, how do I feel good and grounded internally? And so that was a $200, thank you, Dr. Resnick, lesson, just coming back to myself.
So I think the key takeaway here is you realize that you have enough.
Yeah.
And you're just enjoying the journey now.
Yeah. And I think it's fine for us to be jealous. It's cool to see other people living a life and say, do I like that haircut? Do I want to be doing those things? What is it about what they're doing I can learn for myself? And sometimes also going into it, like calling the person or reaching out to the person or being nice to the person and trying to understand maybe some of your envies or jealousies.
You had and we can move on from this topic right after, but there was a tweet where I was like, you tweeted about him as well. So like, I thought he was going to respond. I thought it was going to become this flame war, but it didn't materialize.
Yeah, I will say it. I like learning from people I can see their businesses. I like learning from Andrew Chen. He's one of my best friends. He works at A16Z. My marketing mentor, and this is a cheat code for everyone out there, is you can get these elite mentors, 10,000 hour people, for $1,000 an hour or less. It's Moody Glasgow. He is the CMO of Zapier, CMO of Glassdoor. He's the VP of marketing at EA. Like, we have Rajatish Mukherjee, who is the GM of Indeed. Like, these guys work at real businesses you can see. That's who I want to learn from. And so when I see people out there that are like, yeah, I have $200 million business, I'm like, okay, show me the business. Oh, you can't show anything? You can't tell me anything? You just talk about something? I don't believe you.
Mm.
And I've seen a business that Hormozi bought, who sold or bought. It's called Allen. It's like an SMS tool. And it's pretty much dead. So I am curious, these like $100 million businesses that no one else can see or experience. And so I think for everyone out there, it doesn't mean the advice is not good, but it means like just be mindful and thoughtful about who you want to actually learn from. And I like learning from, you know, women. I just literally was on a Slack message with Jenny Bloom. She's our CFO advisor. She's the former CFO of MailChimp. I'm learning from people that, like, our company, this is how everybody in our company gets an elite advisor that we pay for.
Yeah.
And those are the people that I admire, that I want to learn from. And so it's only just for a lot of other people say, he's so interesting. It's like, okay, what's the business?
I think there's a couple of takeaways there. One is, like, question everything. Two is, like, you're coming from a place of curiosity, but also, like, you're also creating content at the same time, right? It's like, that tweet might or might not have taken off in a different context. Who knows?
Yeah, I was just expecting him to be able to prove it. Like, you're talking about worth $100 million, which is a lot of money. And if you said, hey, I'm actually only worth 10, which I think is what he's worth, no one's going to listen to you. Mm. And so when you're claiming something that extreme, you need to prove it.
Yeah.
Like, you can go, I can show you my Stripe right now and show you AppSumo revenue. I can show you our PayPal account. I can show you this stuff. You can go to our business. And so when I'm talking about what it's like to run a $100 million business or work directly for Zuckerberg, I can show you. And it's not that anymore I need to prove against him. It's just, like, I think people need to just double check who they're learning from and think about it.
Right. Nice socks, by the way. So going to coaches, by the way. So actually, Neil and I, he tweeted something last week and – sorry, posted. He posted something last week and he's like, you know, I think hiring coaches is one of the – worst use of money ever, right? And Mike Maples responds, all these people respond. And I'm just like, dude, he's like, has your coach helped you make money? Blah, blah, blah. And so we started going at it a little bit. And then I actually copied you. We have some coaches for people on our team and we're paying $500, maybe $750 an hour or whatever. And it's like such a level up. And then Neil's like, no, with no coaches. I'd rather just hire people that have been there, done that. But I think that there's you can do both, right?
My dad works in B2B marketing. But I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, the more MQLs, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/customer to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/customer. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
AI might be the most important new computer technology ever. It's storming every industry, and literally billions of dollars are being invested. So buckle up. The problem is that AI needs a lot of speed and processing power. So how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? It's time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud. Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. OCI has 4 to 8 times the bandwidth of other clouds, offers one consistent price instead of variable regional pricing, and of course, nobody does data better than Oracle. So now you can train your AI models at twice the speed and less than half the cost of other clouds. If you want to do more and spend less like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic, take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/strategic. That's oracle.com/strategic. oracle.com/strategic.
Hiring the people that have been there, done that, are generally overpriced and not available, right? And a lot of them actually haven't done it. They're just at the company. And so what I found is the AppSumo.com way is we hire people that are hungry and a little bit more younger or a little bit more available to get. And they're just excited to be a part of AppSumo. And then we pair them with one of these elite advisors. And, you know, there's a lot of different ways of eating at a restaurant. There's a lot of restaurants out there. For my restaurant with AppSumo and how we like to operate is we can now pay 10,000 an hour people, 1,000 an hour, 500 an hour, and we get cheat codes. So we have elite advisors in all these different areas. Maybe it works for Neil without it, but like I have a CEO coach from Reboot.io.
Yeah. Dan Wait, Putt. Who do you have? Oh, you have Dan. Yeah. I have Jerry.
Oh, you have Jerry. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's been a game changer because if you try to hire these people full time,
yeah.
I think Moody, who's a CMO advisor, I can't tell you his hourly, but I think it'd be about $1 million a year just to hire him.
Wow.
Like minimum. Yeah. Minimum. Yeah. I mean, this is a Silicon Valley elite person. And so you can actually be able to get advice from him. He's been coaching me about how we're hiring people. Like, he even had a great question last week. Someone was talking about different marketing strategies we can do. And he asked the person, he said, hey, are you going to bet your career on this? I was like, what do you mean? He's like, yeah, will you bet your career on this idea? And the person's like, no. He's like, well, we're not doing it. I was like, oh, that's a good question.
Wow.
And that was just one little question that he kind of said in passing.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, you know, maybe it works for Neil, but if you look at literally every business out there, if you look at every professional athlete out there, they all have coaches. It's really hard to see yourself without a mirror. Like even Zuckerberg, when I worked at Facebook, he was 24 years old and we're all, you know, super cocky 24-year-olds. And I remember sitting, you know, I reported to him. He sat on his desk and he had this like old lady next to him. I was like, Zuck, you're the man. You know everything. What do you need her for? He's like, oh, I need a coach. And that was his business coach.
Yeah.
And it's kind of insane that you think about him too. He had all these, he had Peter Thiel. He had all the guys from, not Benchmark. I think Benchmark, one of these different, he had a lot of elite advisors around him.
Do you remember the trillion dollar coach, what his name is?
Bill Campbell.
Bill Campbell, yeah. So he coached what? Steve Jobs, Larry Page, Eric Schmidt, right?
So yeah, Neil is the one outlier. You know, look, here's the thing. Even coming back to Hermosi or Neil, like it can work for other people. Like if you learn from them and it works for you, great, do that.
Dude, this that's what I learned as we get older. It's like, dude, we have our own way and it's like whatever works for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do want to go a little more into the coaching piece because I think it's super smart. Like you don't need $500 or $1,000 per hour. Like you can start smaller too. But I guess for you, like what's the framework right now? How many coaches do you have? How many coaches do you have for your team? How often are you meeting them?
Yeah. So I have a CEO coach, which is Dan Putt from Reboot.io. And you can also listen to their podcast for free. And so I'll meet with Dan once a month. And then I also meet with him and my COO because we were having some relationship issues about how we were working together. And so having a coach there provided a space where like we've blown up at each other. And Dan's like, all right, let's bring it back. Let's try to get aligned. For instance, last week with them, it was interesting to say, all right, Alona, she's amazing. She's the CEO of AppSumo. It was like, if I went away for a year, how would 2024 end? And we were both looking at each other like, we have no idea. We have a goal and we have some objectives, but are we very clear that if I left for a year, you know what to do in the business? And so it was like, no, we don't. Okay, great. Great opportunity that Dan created the framework for us to be able to talk about that.
Mm.
I have Ayman Al-Abdullah. He's a former CEO, friend of yours.
Yep.
He's the former CEO of AppSumo. I meet with Ayman 3 times a month. And so Ayman provides a lot more structure, a lot more consistency, a lot more thoughtfulness. It's just in a very patient way. He's not a hyper growth, like we need a 10X tomorrow. It's like, let's 10X over the next 10 years.
He aims for the singles, not the home runs.
And dude, these singles win games.
Yep.
So with Ayman, a lot of times I'm coming, for instance, with AppSumo.com, we created AppSumo Originals, which is our Amazon Basics. It's low priced alternative options for entrepreneurial tools. So Calendly is $20 a month. Our tidycal.com, $29 for life.
Mm.
Or there's MailChimp, which is whatever a month. We have SendFox.com, which is $49 for life. And so went to Ayman and I said, all right, I'm going to take the Originals team and we're going to start a new project. We're going to create a DocuSign alternative and we're going to create a Loom alternative. He's like, all right, well, hold on a second now. How's Tidycal doing? I'm like, dude, Tidycal's like, it's doing insane. It's going great.
Yeah.
That's why we should like move on to a new thing because it's already doing great. We should move on to a new thing. He's like, okay, so this is doing great and you want to move on to something else? I was like, oh, I see what you're doing there. And so that's coaching. That's, you know, sometimes you do need another person to provide accountability or provide support or provide a different point of view that you're not seeing. So that was with Ayman and we're meeting him 3 times a week. And then every single person on the leadership team has their own elite advisor. And so the idea there is that it was nice to be hire people that want to be a part of AppSumo. So Sean, who's our head of revenue, he started as our junior salesperson, the most junior in the entire company 6 years ago. And now he runs an $80 million business. And so for him to be able to do that, we invest. So right now he has, do you know Outdoorsy?
Yeah. We used to work with him.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
So Colin Gardner, the CRO of Outdoorsy is his advisor.
Nice.
We also hired the CRO of Mindbody Online.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
So we've hired these people for Sean, for our people team. So Anna runs our people team. We've hired the chief people officer of Duolingo.
Okay.
So Christine, she's amazing.
And what's like the rough range for these hourly?
Almost every person is between 250 and 1,000 an hour.
Okay.
And so taking a step back, people are like, well, I don't have lots of money. Okay. Can you get them for $100 an hour?
Yeah.
And the reality is, most people, even if you say, hey, this is the easy way to approach it. Hey, can I pay you an hourly just to talk to you? And just even offering, more people would actually say yes to you. Like I get messages literally, I don't know, 10, 15, 20, 100 a day sometimes. Hey, can I talk to you? And a very few will do something different if it's money or if it's some effort.
Yeah.
And so, and a lot of these people, I don't have some crazy network that I just like, hey, I know you because I worked at MailChimp. No, I go on LinkedIn, I look for referrals and I email for referrals. It's almost never cold. And it's just working backwards from who did it, worked at a company that did the thing that I can learn from. So Moody, we saw that Zapier, which is a SaaS product, super big. We saw that he was their CMO, so we hit him up cold. And we said, hey, can we pay you a lot of money to come and talk with us? And he said no. And then we persisted. And then he said yes. And now it's been a year of working with them. And I would say our marketing is 180 because of working with him.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of these people that are high performers, there aren't many people, like it's like less than a percent that reach out to ask for coaching, probably a fraction of a percent.
Yeah.
And it's such a high leverage thing to do. And I think to your point, like people that reach out to you, what stands out more, them offering you money or them like making effort?
Either one. It doesn't matter. It really separate. It could be even a compliment. I think the easiest way to connect with anyone, one of my marketing strategies that I've used at mint.com, I use it at AppSumo.com, I'm using Million Dollar Weekend, is connecting with prefluencers.
So,
so a prefluencer is someone who's going to be popular.
Mm.
And they're available. They're all out there and no one's really talking to them because people are thinking, I need to talk to the people who have the attention. Get the ones who have attention and great audiences and you can kind of bet that there's a future for them. It's like Ali Abdaal, we were talking about before. I connected with him 3 years ago when he was a pretty small channel, maybe a few hundred thousand, maybe tens of thousands. And that created a relationship and friendship that we can work to today. So I would try to find people that are up and coming because it's a lot easier to get a hold of them.
You know, I think there's you have to have a knack for seeing it. And like, I guess, how do you identify the prefluencers?
Yeah. So it depends on the specific context and whatever your business is. So for, let's take mint.com. I was looking at there wasn't Twitter. This is 2007.
Yeah.
There wasn't really much of a Twitter audience. But I was looking at whose blogs are in personal finance that I'm reading that are not CNBC, that are not Jim Cramer. And so it was like Jim from bargaineering.org. It was like this guy named Viet from Stop Buying Crap.
Yeah.
You know him?
No.
Oh, okay. So just different people. And what I'm looking for specifically is engagement. So now with Million Dollar Weekend, I'm looking for people, basically three categories, entrepreneurship, real estate, personal finance. So people that their audiences want to make money or get their own freedom.
Yeah.
And so I'm looking for people that generally have 10,000 subscribers. It could be plus or minus around that, but they have high engagement. So when you go to their videos, when you go to their tweets, when you go on Instagram, when you go on TikTok, when I go on Goodreads, when I go on LinkedIn, this is what our team has done. I'm looking for people that maybe aren't the most popular, but there's a lot of comments, there's a lot of engagement with their content. So as I connect with them and I can help them out or they can help me out, there's a good relationship that happens in the future.
Right. And are you doing that? It sounds like you have a team reaching out to these people. Like, how does that setup look?
Yeah. So let's take the Million Dollar Weekend marketing, which has been, it's been really fun.
Yeah.
I like reaching out myself if I just like someone. I don't need a team or anyone to go do it. If I see someone doing something interesting, like Danny Miranda, this is a guy that's not popular in podcasts.
So you can, that's a good example of a guy that's rising.
I met Danny, I was his, I think, first podcast.
Really?
Yeah, one of his first podcasts. And it was just, he had a lot of heart. He put an effort in his message. And I was like, okay, come over to my house and let's do a show.
Was he Austin based?
I think he flew to Austin.
Okay, wow.
For that. And so, yeah, it's just identifying people that I find interesting. There's not necessarily even a secret to that. It's just, is there anybody that's doing something you're like, okay, that's interesting. For example, another guy on our team, this guy's named Jay Yang. Jay Yang is 17, lives at home with his parents. I thought he was in college. I was like, are you in the dorms? He's like, no, I'm in my room. My mom's.
That's funny.
And he's 17, but the guy is just crushing on Twitter. He's just putting out really great content.
Dude, I just followed him. Yeah, I didn't know he was 17. That's crazy.
He runs our social media now.
Wow.
And so we're paying, And so he runs my Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. And that was because we saw him early. Jeremy and our YouTube team saw him and just connecting with interesting people. Like, just say thank you. Just say good content. It doesn't have to be a big like, well, I've got to message them because I'm doing some tricky transaction. No, just be like, I like what you're doing. And then that potentially could be something in the future.
Got it. So I want to talk about the business to set us up for the book. So we'll go business, then book. So tell us, for those that don't know about your business, because a lot of people now, you got a million subs on YouTube. They probably see you as a YouTuber. But to me, you're a business creator and you're more business than creator in my mind. And I think there's going to be a lot more business creators coming. We can talk about that later. But
tell
us about the business and how it's doing today.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't come from I'm a creator trying to sell a book or trying to sell a course, or I have a business and that pays for the content creation, which I just like doing. And I've done it for 23 years. I like being public. I like putting myself out there. I like attention, like helping. And, you know, the backstory is number 30 at Facebook, number 4 in helpstart mint.com. Mm-hmm. And then I've started and failed so many different businesses over the past 15 years, a lot of different $1 million businesses, a lot of different failures. And about 13 years ago, I started AppSumo.com for $50 in a weekend, which the idea was, can I promote software deals online? very similar to Groupon. And it's evolved since then. And so for $50 in a weekend, I was able to validate a business that today will do around $80 million this year.
Got it. What are... Here's a funny story with AppSumo. Most people don't know this, but I shared this with you before. I was working at a company and we ran an AppSumo deal and it was the best deal ever. And I got in so much trouble.
Did you get fired for that?
No. I like the CTO was like, you just ruined everyone's week. And then because I didn't tell anybody, right? But then Chamath reaches out to me. He's like, hey, man, everyone makes mistakes. You know, it just matters that you keep moving forward or something like that.
But that was you. I forgot about that.
Yeah. But it was good. It was good for you guys. It was good for us too.
It was the design website, the design coaching.
Yeah. We taught people how to do web design coding. And I think we did a couple $100,000 in sales. So like
a huge deal. That was so cool.
Yeah.
I mean, for taking a backstory, AppSumo, the original, I think for people out there that want their own business, and I think everyone should be a millionaire. Everyone should be rich. It's awesome. With AppSumo, what I noticed is that all these different things I worked on, like I did marketing at Mint, I did product management at Facebook, I did payments for Facebook games, like I worked for Mark Pincus and Farmville, all this stuff. And I just noticed that I enjoyed marketing, more people need customers, and there's going to be more software in the world. And this was years ago. And so I was like, how do I test that out? And so that's what AppSumo is. It's like we go find awesome software deals, offer awesome software products, get a deal, and then promote it. And our tools are specifically for solopreneurs. So small businesses, 1 through 4, you can go to AppSumo.com and get $30, $40, $50 like tools for life instead of paying monthly subscriptions.
Got it. Do you see a path or do you see it being capped at the 80 or do you see like a path to like double, triple? I'm just curious as to how big it can become, if you even want it to become big. Or
so literally what's crazy is across the street, we're here in Wishville Boulevard, Los Angeles, California. Across the street 14 years ago, I met with my mentor, and he was not my mentor anymore. And I was like, hey, I'm going to start this deal site for software. And he's like, that's not going to work. And there's only a few software products, so I don't even know why you're going to do it. And that was literally across the street here.
Did you go to UCLA?
No, I went to Cal.
Okay.
UC Berkeley.
Got it.
And so it was a good reminder for everyone out there that it's not that he was trying to hate on me. It was just like, I don't know if this is going to work.
Hmm.
So go do it. Start right now and see if people will buy these things. And it's been great. You know, in Million Dollar Weekend, we'll get to it. It's like, are you picking the right market?
Got it.
At the end of the day. And the market got so much bigger that we were just around and it's done well. And with AppSumo, I think one of the caveats is my goal is not to grow a bigger company. I know that sounds counterintuitive. My goal is I don't care to be a billionaire. I'm already rich enough. This is great. Mm-hmm. I'm already living an awesome life.
Yeah.
I don't care to just have more. And I think that's a Silicon Valley problem. I want more subs. I want more money. I want more. It's like I've got enough and it's great already. And so with AppSumo, right now, our main goal moving into the future is how do we promote more software tools? So there's a lot of software creators around the world. I was talking with Amit Gupta, who created a writing tool. There's just all these amazing tools out there, but we can only promote someone who will do a lifetime deal on AppSumo.
Mm.
So that's a limited amount that's literally of all the software tools for small business owners, which is the only thing we care about. That's like maybe 5% of the market. So how do we help tools that are getting started? And then how do we help tools that are getting going? Like you're already developed as a software tool for small businesses. So right now, in the next 3 years, we have a 3-year plan. How do we help the top of the funnel get started? Like, hey, get discovered. And then once you're already going, how do we help you distribute even more yourself?
Yep.
So do I think it's going to grow a lot more? Yeah. But our growth, this is counterintuitive for people out there. We're trying to grow slower. So our growth goal next year is 7%. And most people are like, Silicon Valley's like, you're not 2X. Like Andrew Chen, I love my buddy. Yeah. I love him. But he's like, if you're not 2Xing, you're failing, right? He's my tiger.
It's a very
mom.
Asian thing to say.
And I love Andrew. And he's one of the reasons we are where we are.
Yeah.
You know, he's coached me and been a great advisor and one of my best friends for many years. But what I've noticed in our success is longevity and sustainability is a superpower.
I think that's becoming more of a theme too, because Ali Abdaal, who we just talked about, he's got his book coming out, Feel Good Productivity, right? It's like, does the business feel good too? It's like, it doesn't have to be all this. I mean, people in Silicon Valley, their incentives are to keep pushing triple, double, or something. Yeah. But you don't have venture backing, so you don't need to push like that, you know?
Yeah, I love my work. I got to come to Los Angeles. I get to talk with you about business. I get to teach people how to do their own businesses. I promote software deals. Like, this is a dream and it's available to everyone.
Yeah.
And I think there's some mentality like, oh, you got to get more money. You got to work more. It's like, no, you don't have to.
What's your definition of rich now?
Do you want to know when I felt rich?
Yeah.
$3 million cash in the bank. That felt rich. That felt like... everything go to shit, I'm still pretty good. I can live in India for cheap for the rest of my life. Yeah. Or I can live in, you know, any other country and even in America and be okay. But I felt very unstable and not rich until that point. And I think there's this thing that's not talked about because most people, I'd say 99% of people are trying to create the money. And the reality, though, is that even if you don't have a lot, and I think everyone should be a millionaire, and it's available, how to enjoy money. I think that's being rich. It's like, how do you actually become a time millionaire? Mm. Or if you're making money, how do you actually enjoy it? And I don't think that's talked about because most people are still in the creation stage.
But I want to come back to that in sure. a little bit. And so going back to, okay, you're running this $80 million a year business right now. You're like, you are the CEO. You're operating. You're in the trenches, right? And you're also, you have this YouTube channel where you have 1 million subs. How are you doing that right now?
And writing.
And you have a book coming. And you're on this tour.
And writing a published book with the major publishing house. How do we do it?
Mm-hmm. How are you balancing all? Because that's like 3 full-time jobs right now.
It is. I mean, most people, like James Clear, Tim Ferriss, they just focused on the book. And I remember when I talked to Tim about the book, he's like, it's hard. And it is really hard writing a book. And also, you have YouTubers that are just focused on YouTube. And then you have software creators that are just focused on that. There's no rules how we have to live life. Just to take a step back, like, I love that I get to make YouTube content, I get to write a book, yeah. I get to run a software company. And I remember yeah. I talked with Charlie Hohen, and Charlie said, why don't you just do it the Noah Kagan way, or the Eric Sue way, or your way? Whatever way you think is best, you can live it that way. But taking a step back, how do I do it? Number one is scorecards. Everyone has a scorecard. And so a scorecard is basically, how do you have clarity and expectation on the outcomes of success for the people you work with? That's like the number one way I run the business. So let's take AppSumo.com, for instance. So our goal this year, $80 million is gross revenue. Mm-hmm. Net revenue is $45 million. That was our target. Yeah. If you ask any single person in the company, they know our single goal. And that's what I learned from Zuckerberg, which is have one very singular goal to focus on. So $45 million net revenue. And now every single one of the team leads, every single person in the executive leadership team has their own 3-thing scorecard. And we've agreed on what the scorecard is. They choose it. They know what our goals are. They know the priority. And they choose it. Like, oh, here's the 3. I'm like, okay, you do your scorecard. And ideally, they do it. If they need help, I'm there to be their advisor. I'm there to be supporting them.
So these are like your OKRs. Your top OKR is like, you know, the $45 million in profit, right? And everyone else has to move up to that.
Everyone has their own 3 things in their scorecard that aligns to it. So there's very clear expectations. So that's part one. Part two, I would say, is having kind of CEOs of the business. So at AppSumo.com, there's Alona, who's the COO, and she runs the business day to day. So my job is to run the month to month. She runs day to day. So that's me stepping back and be like, you're running day to day. Is there a hire or a fire? Is there an organizational shift? Is there a prioritization? And so she's making that decision. Same thing with the book. And this is available for everyone. I didn't go write a book because I'm a great writer. I'm a great tweeter or a great blogger.
Yeah.
And so I went out and found who can I have as the CEO of the book. Like, if you think about Amazon.com and their success, this is something that's fascinating. They have the most CEOs than any other business.
Yeah, for each division.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And instead of just having one CEO, have a CEO for different parts. So for the book, I went out and found literally the best business writer in the past decade, Tal Raz. He wrote 2 of the best-selling business books of all time. And I cold emailed him, just like anyone else can, and convinced him, said, hey, I'm going to do this book. I'm going to promote it. It'll be the best in its class. There's nothing else like it. Will you help me lead this book? So same there. And then same with the YouTube channel. I have a GM who is Jeremy and who's now Dylan, that basically run the channel, and I'm there to support them and be a part of it.
Are you kind of, it's not even like you're a chairman or anything. It's more like you're jumping around and supporting where you need to, and that's probably where your best place is, what I'm hearing.
Yeah, I love making YouTube videos.
Yeah.
Like the fact that I get to go and like talk to interesting people. Sometimes the challenge videos where I'm like asking to get on a jet, those are stressful. But yeah, I always feel proud. We can talk about that. I feel proud afterwards. My job, though, is like with AppSumo, it's like, how do I, in a positive way, help people grow? And I was doing it wrong for so many years, where I was kind of chiding on them and like, oh, you're doing this wrong, you're doing this wrong, versus like, that's not exciting to work.
Yeah.
Versus like, hey, what's your dream? How do you want to accomplish things? Where do you want to go?
Yeah.
Okay, let's help you get there. And so within the different teams, so Kevin in finance, Sean in head of revenue, like, where do you want to go? How much do you want to make? You want to be a millionaire? All right, let's get you to 1 million.
Yeah.
And then supporting them in the things that they want to accomplish.
Trinity School of Natural Health can help you be part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry. With an education that empowers communities, Trinity grads can change lives by applying natural health principles and techniques in holistic practices or stores selling nourishing health products. Offering 19 online programs that fit your busy schedule, you'll get training to help turn your passion into a career.
Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.